now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Ken Carman from Cleveland. Ken is, I like Ken. Ken does stuff. If you're a Brownie fan, if you follow Cleveland sports, you just follow the talk show circuit. Ken is one of those guys that brings it and has a lot of insight into the Cleveland Browns, who the Cardinals play this Sunday. Obviously, huge story. And I want to get their side of the street on this game. The Cardinals try to move to 6-0. So I have Ken Carman with us today. I have a lot that I want to get to. And so let's just get right after it. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I was on earlier today with Bruce Jacobs and Dale Hellestray over on 1580. They call, and I call them the principal. I said, you guys, it's like I'm being brought into the principal's office. But those two, they have a good time. If you haven't heard them, check them out over at 1580. They have been in the market a long, long time. It was good to catch up with Bruce and Dale. I watched the Mercury last night, so I'm going to start there. And here's the thing. Before you turn me off and say, well, I can't believe you're leading with the Mercury, here's what happened last night. So I'll go all the way back to 1997. I was the original play-by-play voice of the Phoenix Mercury. Jerry Colangelo called me and said, there's going to be this women's basketball team. We'd love to have you be a part of it. We need a play-by-play voice. I love doing play-by-play. I think it keeps you fresh. It's fun. It's exhilarating. It's a black canvas, all that. So I do it. And it's, I mean, we're flying Southwest. We're getting used to a game being played below the rim. And so I've been cheering for them to succeed. I have. I used to take my daughters to watch them play when they were in junior high school and in high school. I took teams I coached, girls' teams I coached. It's a lot of fun. What I've noticed, obviously, through the years is media just doesn't pay attention to the Mercury. Last night, ESPN puts up a picture of the Mercury on their homepage, front page, and the game against Chicago. But if you go and click on their main sports, the WNBA is not even on page one. So they're just, you know, they're just placating. They're just placating. They're not going to put WNBA on page one because it doesn't get as many clicks as other sports that are out there. I would say I get it. I don't get it in this day and age. Last night, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, I don't know how many Phoenix Suns players are sitting front row. The Suns moved two of their games to the afternoon so that the Mercury could play at night. There was a good crowd last night. Usually these games are being shot really low where all you see is the coaches because there's nobody in the stands. My point on this is the game in Phoenix, I felt like last night, if we were ever to get to a point where the Mercury become more of something to just the 8 to 10,000 that show up at games, that's nothing to poo-poo, or just the ones that follow them on social media, you got to reach out to neighborhoods to where people are talking the next day about. You know, they get all excited about, whoa, we have this many followers and this many. You can go buy followers. Followers are a joke. Doesn't matter. People talking next door about what happened last night. Brittany Griner dunked in last night's game. It's the first dunk ever in women's basketball in the finals. And so you have Chris Paul, Devin Booker cheering, and there's a picture of Devin Booker taking photos of the Mercury players like a little kid, like fanboy. And it was great. It was awesome. And I would encourage you, if you're watching me and read our platform and see our content, to understand that it's not just about the same old stuff. It's not about the pro sports of just men. We're changing. We are changing. You know, I've been doing stuff on Phoenix Rising and before that, Arizona United Soccer. We're changing. MLS is going to announce their 30th team being added. Maybe it's Phoenix this time. Probably not because of the outdoor arena, but you don't know. And so I felt like last night as I was watching and Griner dunked the ball, that is something that will be showed forever. That is something that will be talked about forever. Diana Taurasi is a badass. There's no other way to put it. She gets out on the floor and she doesn't take it. I love watching her ball. Love what they're doing on the floor. And yeah, I'll watch tomorrow night, Friday night, game three. Many people do not. That's just women. They don't dunk. Last night they did. I know it's the first one. I know it's the first one. Games played below the rim. A game is actually prettier, in my opinion, at times. It's not always either come down and try and dunk a ball or shoot a three and that's it. There's a mid-range game that's played in the women's game. It was 91-86. Fine score. Points being scored. Overtime game. Really like what I saw last night out of them. Here's the other part that's going on in sports right now. We are just becoming too busy. The networks are. And so people, more and more people are just going to say, well, what's going on? I'll just check on my phone. I'm not going to sit there and watch. This is a deeper dive. What am I supposed to do tonight? The Coyotes open their season. The Dodgers are playing the Giants. And you have Tom Brady playing against Philadelphia. And I'm sure there's other things I'm leaving out tonight. You can't be everywhere. And so when people play the game of, well, we have this many views, we have this many clicks, people are watching this more than that, there's going to be a few million people that will watch Dodgers-Giants tonight. There's going to be several million people that will watch Tampa Bay-Philadelphia tonight. Where are the Coyotes supposed to fit into this? That's a tough one. Because if you're a hockey fan, you're like, this is the day I've been waiting for, a brand new regime. Feels like Groundhog Day with the Coyotes because it's always a brand new regime. New coach. Move on from Rick Tocchet. Move on from Dave Tippett. It's just always something. And it would be nice to see them, and I am getting into them now, it would be nice to see them just get out on the ice and roll through it. They made some trades this offseason that are just hard to comprehend. They're just hard to comprehend. The real hardcore person can sit there and defend all day long. Unfortunately, there's like this many of you. So it's got to be more what's going on in the neighborhood. Why should I drive all the way from Gilbert, Arizona to Glendale next week for the opener? Because it's the right thing to do. I'll be at their opener. Be there next Monday night. Yeah, I will. There's times that I will pick where I've got to be places when it's a big deal. I get it. And so the Coyotes get going tonight. Dodgers-Giants, here's the thing on it, and we've got Ken Carman coming up shortly. Dodgers-Giants really should be the National League Championship Series, shouldn't it? I mean, when you look at this on paper and say it's a best of five rather than it's a best of seven, and how tremendous the games have been to this point, and it's going to be decided tonight, and it's not the NLCS, like, isn't it? I think it's very fair to say I'd rather see Dodgers or Giants than the Braves. I think the Dodgers and Giants are better teams than the Braves. And so tonight we're going to take out one of those two, and they're going to face Atlanta. I just feel like when I'm watching this, this should be the NLCS. It really should be. And so the winner will get Atlanta. That's going on. I'm going to get into ASU at Utah a little bit later. I'm going to get into some of the nonsense that our industry has done in regards to Spencer Rattler and clicks on websites. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. But up next, we're going to switch gears over to Cardinals at Cleveland and get the view from what's going on with the Browns on this game. Ken Carman with Browns Radio 92.3. He hosts their morning. Ken Carman is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a deeper dive into what is going on with the Browns and Cardinals on Sunday. None better than Ken Carman, 92.3 The Fan, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, at Ken Carman. Make sure you spell that with A's on both ends. Good to see you, first and foremost. What is going on your side of the street with your football team from your view, Ken?
Well, 3-2, and it's been a tough schedule to start things off. Kansas City's still a tough team, even though they're 2-3. And then you got a couple of it's weird. Houston is not a good team, but I do think they prep well. They're just not very good. And I do think that David Culley's a little bit old style, where he makes decisions where he's more afraid to win, because he doesn't want to lose, but it turns into being afraid to win.
Yeah.
And Tyrod Taylor did a good job in that game. Chicago just wasn't ready. Minnesota was a tough game, a very tough game. So they got to 3-2. And it felt a little bit like house money going back out to LA. I didn't think they'd win the game. They didn't win the game, but it was disappointing because, you know, Baker did not play very well against Minnesota 2 weeks ago. And then last week he played well, but the defense, you know, they gave up 47 points altogether, even though the last six they pushed, I think, Austin Eckler into the end zone. But the defense got carved up, and Baker in the final minutes, it kind of felt like Kevin Stefanski took the ball out of his hand. So there's been, even though it's been 3-2, it's a fine, fair enough start. There's been some controversy over the last couple of weeks with the Browns. Yeah.
Who is the controversy aimed towards? Is it Stefanski? Is it coordinators? Is it Baker? Sort through that.
A bit with Kevin Stefanski. None with the coordinator. Well, Joe Woods, you know, it's been a little bit up and down because Joe Woods was here last year. The defense did not have the pieces last year. So Joe Woods got a lot of that criticism, even though there's, you know, he's not a magician. You got what you got. And what they had wasn't very good. But he took a little bit of criticism, especially since the defense played very well over the last couple of weeks going into that game against Los Angeles. A lot of people were very happy about that. So Joe Woods has had a little bit of criticism. Alex Van Pelt has had none. People are very happy with Alex Van Pelt. And then the other side would be Baker, Odell, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. Why Baker wasn't really, you know, trust is a tough word to use. Why didn't they move the ball down the field? I mean, you had no timeouts, but you had 1:31 left to go. You started at your own 25. You needed a touchdown in that moment, but man, a minute 31, that's a lot of time.
Yep.
And it seemed like they weren't in a hurry. And then at the end of the game, you know, Kevin Stefanski says, well, we were looking forward to try to make a Hail Mary happen. And that didn't make much sense. So there's a couple of people wondering, well, what happened? And, you know, you look at the losses they've had over the last, you know, the two losses they've had this year and then the loss they had last year in the playoffs at Kansas City. There does seem to be a bit of a difference in who they play and how they take that opponent. Meaning they don't play down to their opponent. They take care of their opponent pretty well. But when they play against Kansas City and against Los Angeles, and these are teams that come in with a good record. They come in with a good reputation. And the Browns get up in these games. They stayed with Kansas City in the playoff game last year. But in the game against Kansas City in week one, the Browns had the lead. The Browns had a couple of possessions lead. And the Browns had a lead of two possessions, I believe, at two different times against L.A. They couldn't close them out. And so that's where the question of whether or not Kevin Stefanski kind of seizes up in tough times, that's where that comes from. Because Baker was bad against Minnesota. That's – we can't take that away. But he was good, pretty good, against L.A. And it seemed in the tightest moment, in the moment where you needed people the most to go with their organization and go with what they know, things seemed to get a bit tight. So the jury's out a little bit on both those guys with Baker and Kevin Stefanski.
It's really interesting. Ken Carman with us, 92.3 The Fan, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, dropping knowledge on the Browns Cardinals this coming Sunday. A couple other things about the Browns. What is the story with Odell Beckham? What is going on, Ken?
Well, he's well liked by his teammates. He's coming off an injury that was significant. I think that he's a guy who, if he ain't ready to go, he's not going to go. I think that he's been worried about the injuries. You know, the injury he had with the ankle when he was in New York, I think that took a little bit of his essence away. And I know he's played with a shoulder injury since college, a couple other things. I understand that. But, you know, serious injury, I think, has an effect on him. But there's also been, I think there's been a couple of things that have happened. When he first got here and they had Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken, there was a lot of clashing going on. They weren't ready to really use Odell Beckham Jr. the way they were supposed to. Last year, I think that Baker does like to prove critics wrong. I think he does pay a lot of attention to the media, and that's to his own peril, because I think that he's tried to force the balls to Odell Beckham Jr. last year. Odell came out of the season with the ACL injury. Baker didn't have to force it to him anymore, and the numbers, they just went up. Everything was better. Excuse me. Well, this year with OBJ, week one didn't look like he was forced, even though he had the most targets. Looked like a number one wide receiver. You throw the ball most to your number one. Game two looked like it was forced, but he was off. He was very inaccurate, Baker was. Last week, it didn't look like it was forced to him at all, and they moved the ball down the field very well. There were a couple points where Odell was open, but now this is where it's gotten so ugly where – you know, somebody took a screenshot of a pass that Baker completed to David Njoku, his tight end, but they also showed an open Odell Beckham Jr. that was a higher risk, lower percentage throw, but he was open at the time of the screenshot. And I said, this is the problem that we're having here with these wars. If Baker hits David Njoku, which he did for a first down, an easy first down, and they move the ball, I think they scored a touchdown on that drive. If Baker hits David Njoku and leaves Odell Beckham Jr., he's not going after his number one. If he goes after OBJ and misses that throw, you got a wide open David Njoku. Why didn't you go underneath? You're forcing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. now. So that's where it is. And the problem I have with it all is that I'm used to having that argument. We can do a big chicken or egg. That's fine. That's my world that I live in. It's your world that you live in. I don't want Baker paying attention to that as much. I really don't. And I see some of the things that he posts on social media about the criticism. It makes me nervous.
Can't do that.
Yeah, it really makes me nervous.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he can do it. And I saw that back in 2019, and it gets in the way. And this is a big year for him. He's playing, even though they could franchise tag him the year after next year and they could just use that fifth year option next year, he really wants to play for a contract. And I don't want the media to be a distraction, because that's what the media does. It's for entertainment purposes only. He needs to focus on what's real, and that's, you know, beating Arizona and playing well and getting some of the critics off his back through his play, not through his words or whatever else he can do.
One last question on the just the makeup of the team, and that is, when you look at Chubb and Hunt, I mean, that's one of the best combinations from a distance and what you're going to see around the NFL, right? How are they playing?
Yeah, they're easily the two best backs I've seen with the Browns. I was very young for Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack. Too young to appreciate it, really. But with these two, it's, you know, Kareem Hunt. It took a while for Kareem Hunt to come into his own. Obviously, with the personal problems, we would know. But now that he's really come together with the offense, they use him in a wonderful way. There's been a couple of complaints about who should be on the field at the end of the game. I find them to be just fan criticisms of a team when they lose a football game, or even when they win, just little criticisms that people don't really understand. I think that they're used perfectly together. I think that they're the best two-back tandem in the league, even with what we're seeing in Dallas. I think they're easily the best two-back tandem in the league. And that does affect some of the yards and some of the numbers that happen to Baker Mayfield, because if you can run the ball, why wouldn't you just run the ball? Because it's still, as much as it is, throw the ball through the air, let it fly, gaudy numbers, that type of thing, you can still wear a team out and really make a team quit by running the ball on them. The Browns have won a lot of football games with Kevin Stefanski doing that.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with Ken Carman, 92.3 The Fan, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. You can follow him on social media, on his channels at Ken Carman. And that is the makeup of Sunday's matchup. So you have the undefeated Cardinals rolling in. Kyler's a little bit nicked up. What's the view in Cleveland of this Sunday's game from what you're hearing, what you see?
I think there's pressure on the game because there's a big difference. I think a lot of people see Denver as a team you can definitely beat and should beat. So there's an opportunity here where, hey, if you hand Arizona their first loss, now you're 4-2. Baker's beaten Kyler, and obviously the stats and play could always tell us a different story. We're just going off of something that's, you know, hours ahead of us. But Baker's beaten Kyler. The Browns won again. They're 4-2. You're right there in the thick of the AFC North and the thick of the AFC race. And then you're getting ready for Denver. And if you win against Denver, well, you're stacking wins now at 5-2. And then you got 10 days to get ready for Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's not the same Steelers we've seen in the past. So there's a real opportunity there for the Browns. If they lose this game, well, now you're 3-3. And people start to talk about disappointments, and then people start to – because the expectations for this team was a deep playoff run. Now we're 6 weeks into the season, people start hemming and hawing over them. So we're going to a point where you don't get credit for the wins, because if you beat Denver, you beat Denver. Nobody cares. You beat Arizona, they care about beating Arizona, because now we just compare ourselves to the good football teams, the veteran football teams that are names that people care about. And Arizona coming in at 5-0 would be a tremendous win for the Browns, but they got to be dialed in on Kyler Murray, no matter how injured he may be. DeAndre Hopkins can pick everybody apart. I saw him just run away from Jacksonville a few weeks ago. I was laughing about that. You know, Christian Kirk's been great. I know that, you know, Chandler Jones, it's kind of up in the air listening to Cliff Kingsbury yesterday. I'm not sure if you have better information than me about what his status is going to be. And Doubtful. No, J.J. Watt is
doubtful.
J.J. Watt's older, but I'm sorry, what'd you say about him?
Doubtful on Chandler.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening.
Yeah,
you know, in Watt's case, Ken, if you go look and dig into the numbers, he's number two in beating guys head-to-head. He just passed Aaron Donald, I saw. He's number two in the entire league. So people say, well, he has zero sacks. No, he is a complete, total disruptor. And I remember back over the summer, I had Peter King on, and Peter said, it's a bunch of nice older names they have there in Arizona, but can they play? Well, you look at what's happened out here. JJ's playing very, very well. AJ Green has been someone who's been a complimentary player. And so you see the moves that Steve Keim has made out here, where he was completely under siege and under fire. This was one of the most disappointing teams last year, I think, in their space going to Cleveland. I'm kind of answering your question. I'll get out of the way. But I think in their space, it's not house money. It's, look, you're 5-0 and you were able to beat Cleveland and you have the Texans the following week. You know, you could be sitting here at 7-0 coming into a Thursday night game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So there's a lot of interest out here. This is a city unlike Cleveland where if you don't win, they just don't care and they move on to something else. So that's how.
Well, they certainly care if you lose here. They definitely care. So,
yeah.
You know, it could be some pitchforks on Sunday if the Browns lose that football game. That's true.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks.
Thank you very much for having me. Sorry for the delay.
Oh, no worries. Ken Carman with us, and we're back with more. And make sure you follow Ken on his social channels, at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, Ken Carman. Get it right on social. We appreciate his time and insight. Back with more after this timeout. Now to Arizona State. First and foremost, the Sun Devils and Utah, we are going to be there. I am not going to be there. This is some breaking news on the site. Claudia is getting married on Saturday, so I need to be there. Actually, she invited my wife and I. So we're going to Claudia's wedding while Eric Sorensen and Jordan Hamm are going to be in Salt Lake City with Santan Ford and Tim Hovick. Tim said, hey, you make sure you're at every game this year. And I said, that's fine, Tim. Well, let's make it happen. And so we did. So we will be at the game on Saturday night, Eric and Jordan. They'll be doing video. They'll be doing social. They'll be doing all sorts of stuff all around the game because it is the biggest game for Arizona State in a couple of years. If they beat Utah, they really are in a position to go to the Pac-12 title game, barring a crappy in the bed against USC. Or the U of A, and I don't see that happening. They have three other games that are in the conference, and they're all against Pac-12 North teams, Washington State, Oregon State, and UW. And I am going to UW, and I'm going to Corvallis. Why not? I will go on those two trips and take the show on the road. So ASU, they're 5-1. You know, I think, what was it I saw, that they have gone 150 yards or more on the ground in each of the last 10 games. I mean, think about that for a minute. With as much as made out of Jaden Daniels, and rightly so, and I don't like Jaden being the leading rusher, and with Nagata and White and Trainum and just the depth that they have at the running back position, you know, they should run for a bunch of yards. I just don't like Jaden running as much as he's been running. So, and Utah smacks ASU around. Utah has the number of ASU. They do. So Saturday night, you can shut up guys like me who say, you know, ASU just can't beat Utah. Utah's had a couple of tragedies within their program in the last few weeks. And when you have tragedies, and I mean death within their program, that is where you bring teams closer together. And they are able to focus more. And so, yeah, Utah is sitting there. They weren't good early in the season, in my humble opinion. They lost to San Diego State, who's had a good season. They lost to BYU, finally got tripped up. But this is one of those games where it's going to be late at night in Salt Lake City. It's going to be in the low 40s to high 30s. It's a clear night, so there won't be snow, but it's going to be cold. Protect the football. It just feels like when these two teams play, it's 17-13. What was the number? I had the number down here, I think. It's going to be the number I have is temperature. It's going to be a cold night, and you win this game and you're set up. You go into a bye week, you heal up, And then you have Washington State, who's going through all sorts of issues. Then you have USC. ASU is going to be favored in the remaining games after this week. They will be favored. And so it's all sitting there. And I'm still of the opinion that Herm at the end of the season will walk away and retire, say, I've had enough. It's great. It's time for somebody else. No matter how this goes. The U of A game against Colorado, they're putting Gunnar Cruz back in at quarterback. And so Gunnar's going to have his opportunity. Gunnar is a transfer quarterback who grew up here in the great state of Arizona, went to Washington State, and then down to Tucson. It hasn't worked out so far. They're on their third quarterback, Gunnar, for the second time around. I bring this up because, you know, the Republic did an aggregation piece where you just put out something, you're going to get a bunch of clicks on it. And it was about whether Spencer Rattler will go to the U of A or ASU. And fortunately, there's not been many people that have sent me that because they get it. It's just someone saying, well, this would be fun to talk about. Well, no, it's not fun to talk about when it's in somebody's space. And I think it is fair. I think it's very fair to start to wonder about quarterbacks that were here in the Valley that went elsewhere. And now what is going to happen to them? And Spencer would be on that list. Spencer Rattler, when he was at Pinnacle High School, there was not a more polarizing player, probably not a more polarizing player that I've ever seen in the Valley. You know, he faked an injury. His dad was in the middle of all that. Eric wrote about it. Dad got mad. It's the way it goes. It happened. Did the thing on Netflix. Didn't come out great. You can say, well, look at all the social media. It doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's good. Got to produce on the field. So whether Spencer plays for Oklahoma or not, I'd be surprised if he started this Saturday night. But, you know, I'm not the coach that's sitting over there. But if you're just somebody who's a quarterback and you're not playing, yeah, the transfer portal is sitting there for you. I think Jack Miller at Ohio State is probably somebody that's looking at the transfer portal, went to Chaparral High School. I think Chuba Purdy, who's at Florida State, is probably someone who's wondering, am I ever going to get the opportunity to play here? Broke his collarbone like a week after he got down there because Mike Norvell has live hitting on freshman quarterbacks. Broke his collarbone and then had several surgeries because there was an infection in the shoulder. He hasn't been on the field yet this year. He's back with the team. He's back working out, but they haven't played him yet. So I'm sure that there's some quarterbacks here in the Valley. If you were just to look at it from a distance and just say, I wonder if they're really happy with that position. Well, there's only one of them that can play. Okay? Outside of kickers, give me another one where it's just one. You can rotate through running backs. You can try to keep them all happy. Look at what's going on at ASU this year, rotating through those three guys. Wide receivers, you can throw a whole bunch of wide receivers out there. But when it's quarterback and you're not the one that is playing, then yes, you're going to sit there after a while and start to stew and steam. Arizona State is going to be in the market for a quarterback next year. Borgay is a nice player, not proven. And so is he going to be the guy to replace Jaden Daniels next year? I fully expect Jaden to not be here next year. So sure, there's going to be guys you could sit there and write about and talk about in a way of, well, it's going to happen. Well, it may not. I don't know. I kind of like it when a kid sticks it out. I think every situation is different when it comes to quarterbacks. Kai Milliner was up at Cal. Now he's at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and he's playing. He's playing a ton. I was talking to a dad about his quarterback, and I mentioned, do you know where Josh Allen's journey took him by chance? You know, he went to community college. And, you know, he went to Wyoming. And, you know, he's in the NFL. And the dad just kind of chuckles like, well, we could never do that. Well, okay. You're daddy baller. I got it. You're not going to look at the big picture. What does your kid want to do? Where does your kid want to go? If you're going to look at Josh Allen's journey and be like, we could never do that, then you're just not really dealing with reality on the deal. You're not. You know, when you see where Carson Wentz went and where Trey Lance went and how many times do you have to go through this before it's, you don't have to go to an SEC school. You don't have to sit there and say, well, my kid is on television every week. They're going to find him. So, yeah, Arizona State's going to be looking for a quarterback next year. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Zach Hill this offseason. I think Zach Hill is one of those rising names in coaching candidacies. Is he one of those that wants to be a guy that is looking to do something? I think his name is out there quite a bit. But I am looking forward to Saturday night. I think this is a great time of year. October is a busy month in sports, as I said earlier. But when you go through where we are right now, where we have a team at Arizona State that is looking to get to the Rose Bowl, they can actually make a run at the Rose Bowl. The path is there. The NCAA investigation is hanging around over their head. Herm, I think, walks at the end of the year either way. Compelling story. The Arizona Cardinals are sitting there 5-0 trying to go to 6-0, which just doesn't happen. It's never happened here before. Kyler's a little nicked up. Chandler Jones with COVID. They're playing against Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and all that stuff. And compelling matchup. Friday night, high school stuff, I'll be out on a sideline. I'm probably going to go to a sideline tonight for a little bit. Yeah, I can watch Tampa Bay at Philadelphia too. I mean, it's so great. October is just a great month, and it gives us a lot to talk about. I didn't even get into William Shatner. How great is the William Shatner story? You're 90, and you go up for 10 minutes on a rocket. Captain Kirk on Blue Origin. How great is that? All right, I'm done. I've had enough. And I have the Coyotes tonight, too. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He puts this together. Steve Burney, senior executive vice president of something. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of nothing. Everybody that helps out on this show, we appreciate their support. Have a great day.